Let's pray. Father, we do proclaim the name of Jesus in this place. We recognize the power of that name. That name is above all names. Above every name we can name, Father, it's above it. And we thank you, Father, for that truth. We thank you, Father, for the comfort of knowing that. The peace that it brings. And we pray, Father, that your peace does reign in this place, in our hearts, in this community, in this nation, in the earth, Father. We pray for your peace to reign. And Father, as I open my mouth here this morning, fill it. May I speak only what you'd have us hear. Holy Spirit, I depend completely on you. Come and fill this place. Speak to each of us in our hearts. We depend on God and the Holy Spirit completely. We thank you, Father, for that promise that He comes to lead us to truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I do have some notes. Just let you know, I do have some notes, but I have never been so I guess kind of scattered in my thinking when I've come to teach or preach. So that prayer that I normally do pray for the Holy Spirit to come and teach us is even more pronounced in my heart this morning. Arthur has been going back through various ways of looking and considering the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Going back through some of the parts of the Sermon on the Mount. Well, I'm going to actually maybe do that here in a minute too, going back to a particular part of that sermon. That teaching by Jesus. And I started considering, you know, what would I say about the kingdom of God this morning? Just kind of in the middle of Arthur's teaching, I don't want to try to, you know, redirect or anything. I just like to kind of hang around there. Because God wasn't surprised by the fact that I'm up here this morning. He knew what was going to be taking place. So I depend on Him, and I believe that He would have me come alongside and kind of speak to the same general topic. So that's where I started in my preparation. What is it about the kingdom of God that I could bring, that I could maybe encourage with, exhort with? And what was very interesting was the very first thing that came to mind was the list of stuff that's going on in the earth right now. So just hang with me, okay, as we talk about this, and I believe that we will find our way to the kingdom of God in the midst of this. Like I said in the beginning before worship, never in my life, and I don't know that anybody has witnessed such craziness in the whole earth, but just look at the United States in particular, because of our social environment, the unrest, the amazing division, and I'm not talking about just difference of opinion, I'm talking about numerical division of our nation. It amazes me when I look at that, how numerically divided we are. It's like, if you just went around and counted absolutely everybody, I think it might come right down to exactly the same number on both sides of any issue. It's like, how did we get here? How did we get to the point where half the people in this country agree with me and half don't? And by the way, it doesn't matter if they agree with me. How about God? How about agree with the Word of God? I saw a bumper sticker the other day. You know, we talk occasionally about abortion and the evil of that. And I saw a bumper sticker that just... It's like, I don't know why I hadn't thought so simply about this. The bumper sticker said, God is pro-life. That settles it. He gave us life. He is pro-life. That settles it. I don't care what your politics are. What does God say? What does God say about anything? The kingdom of God is all about that. The kingdom of God is all about what does God say about anything that we have in front of us or that we're in the midst of. A pandemic. Hurricanes like crazy. Crazy. And normally, you know, there's hurricanes all the time, all over the place. It's not new. But for me personally, this round of hurricanes has affected people I know. And I'm my son, first of all, that hurricane that came across Lake Charles. Thank God. God showed himself big to my son in the middle of that. He did. There's still parts of Lake Charles have no power. My son does. Had power when he got home. By the hand of God, I believe. He gave him credit. I do too. But now, the next one, Sally, went right across Foley. My good friend Michael Schaefer here, he just moved his family to Foley. Just a month ago or two. Went right across Foley. Now this tropical storm kind of swirling up, and where is it dumping all this water? Everywhere. The coast of Texas is huge, and it's managing to hit the whole coast with a lot of water. But in particular, Houston, all the way over to Lake Charles again. It's like, really? Best brother and his family live in Houston area. I'm not usually so connected with people that are being infected by these things. It's just another part of this craziness. Fires in California are giving us problems here with smoke and sinus and allergy problems. Did you know the haze is California smoke? That's what it is. I drove all the way from Dallas to here yesterday. It got a little lighter as I got this way, but in Dallas, it's crazy hazy. Oh, that's cool. Crazy hazy. What else would you expect from California fires? Crazy hazy in Texas. I'm sorry. True. But all the way home, it looks like there's fog over the hills. All the way home. All the way across Texas. Floods because of the hurricanes. We have, I don't know that we've had any significant earthquakes in this country that, you know, to speak of. So get ready. And then on the human generated side, rioting, crazy election lies and deceit. And then the death of a Supreme Court justice. You know, that's one little added thing that affects this nation drastically for decades to come. One death affects the nation for decades. And like I said, you have this division of stuff. These two sides. And it's so, like, how did we get so divided? Well, because the truth of God has not been proclaimed and accepted by the people in this country like it should have been. Or in the earth in general. One really stark contrast of things. These boys that went out on the field in Florida with the Blue Lives Matter flag. They get expelled. Well, then they also got scholarships. Which one is right? Is it right to condemn them or is it right to reward them? Well, the rules of the school say, change the rules. Change the rules. When they make you do stupid stuff, change the rules. Period. If the rule violates what God says to do in His kingdom, change the rules. Wow. They're changing the rules in California for sexual assault. Now, as long as the girl is at least 14, and the guy is no more than 24, we're not going to call that bad. We're going to call that consensual. Anybody in here 14 years old? Or thereabouts? Or 15? Think about that. If the rules are wrong, change them. They're going the wrong way. The kingdom of God is not being proclaimed in California in that regard, in that legislative decision. It's not. It is being thwarted. I know many people in California are true Christian believers and lovers of God. Most of them, if not all of them, are kept from worship even today. And then in the middle of that, they do this thing. Wow. Is that not plain? Is that not plain? How Satan is taking advantage of this situation. He will do it every time. Every time. Little and big situations, he takes advantage. We have to have discernment about it. Discernment is vital. And not just the sermon of the absolute evil things going on that were so, oh, look at that. How about the things that are a little gray? How about the things that the party that I support get wrong? Oh, heaven forbid. Conservatives would ever be wrong. Yeah, they are. But relatively speaking, they're so much better than those other guys, right? Relative to the other guys. Do not compare yourself to yourself, is what the Word of God says. You lack wisdom. What do we compare ourselves to? How are we to live in the kingdom of God? It is to compare ourselves to Christ and His perfection, His holiness. Last week, when Arthur said that about be holy, that spoke to me. If God says be, then be. And He empowers us to. He makes it possible to, by His hand, by His Holy Spirit, in His timing, in His ways, if we allow it. But He doesn't do it to us without our choosing it. By the way, all those things I named, practically all of them, are being blamed on President Trump. Right? Because he didn't fix climate change. And that's what caused the fires. You know, and you know, it's like, that's what caused the hurricanes and the flooding and all that. Yeah, 3 years. He should have fixed the climate. Oh, by the way, it's God's climate. It's God's climate. He established the earth in such a way that it takes care of itself in the midst of man's stupidity. It's done it for many, many, many years. Joseph will get a kick out of this. Joseph Julian, I'm coming around to thinking maybe not as many years as I used to think. He and I have started a conversation about young earth discussions. But the fact is, just like our bodies, I believe, you know, he created our bodies to heal themselves, and you know that's been corrupted by the fall of man too. You know, our bodies don't perfectly heal themselves from everything, but they do a pretty good job. You think about it, do a pretty good job of healing themselves because He created that way. So I give Him credit, His hand of healing on us when it's even just our body doing it, because He's the creator of that system. Just like right now, Angela's being healed of some issues and getting better every day. I said that out loud with her mouth. It's true because God is causing it through the creation that He designed Himself. Amen. Amen. He didn't say, oh, well, I forgot to take care of Angela's body that way.
I'm the apple of His
eye. Oh, well, that's true. So He would never have forgotten you. Okay. It is such an arrogant thing for man to think we can have such an effect on God's creation outside of His reach. That's what they do. They don't even consider God when they talk about climate change and whatever. And just read a little history. And you'll find out there's been, you know, the little ice age, you know, various things that happened a few hundred years ago. I want to know what caused that. What part of man's activities caused that? Oh, well, maybe not that. Maybe a volcano or two. Who knows? I mean, they do know a lot about it. Apparently, a lot of people don't know enough about it because they choose to blame our president for absolutely everything. And I'm not going to get into the politics of that. It's just that's how deceived they are and how ready to just spout lies, ignorant information. In the end here, in these times, we have to be discerners of the truth. Keep that turned on all the time. Not just when you hear crazy, crazy stuff, but when you hear a little bit crazy. When you hear almost normal, keep your discerner turned on. Keep it turned on. God will show you. He will give you some peace in your heart about things. When you hear something that's, you turn your head and say, wow, I didn't know that. Well, maybe it's not true. Maybe it's a deception. Maybe it's something else to add to our confusion and our chaos so Satan can continue to have his way in places like the legislature in California. Isn't it crazy? Keep our discerner turned on. The kingdom of God requires it. The kingdom of God, by the way, is not separate from the earth. We know that. Here we are. We are citizens of the kingdom, right, everybody? We're all citizens of the kingdom. And yet, here we are in the midst of this world. And he says, you're in the world, but not of it. But you're in it. And in it with that discerner turned on. In it, understanding the principles of God that apply. I had a long talk with my daughter and son-in-law the other night. They've been in the midst of crazy, crazy stuff personally. Besides what the rest of the earth is doing, they personally have had a crazy couple of months. And I just encouraged them to live by the principles. And when they have an unction by God, heed it. Don't say, well, you know, I kind of feel that way. I don't know. You know. No, if you hear the voice of the Lord, heed it. It's critical for us to do that right now. That we, as citizens of the kingdom, have a way through this different than everybody else. Back in the Sermon on the Mount, there was the narrow gate and the wide gate, right? You remember me saying the wide gate, it doesn't say people look for it, they just go through it. It's not something you have to look for. But what do you have to seek? You have to seek the narrow one. You have to seek that one, remember? So let's keep doing that. Let's seek the narrow way. Just this moment, I just thought about, like in these movies, these sci-fi or, you know, weird, you know, not weird, just these like otherworldly kind of movies. They're always finding a way into some place that nobody else knows about. You know, oh, you can climb this mountain up this staircase and get over here. God has made that way for us in the kingdom of God if we seek the narrow way. If you find yourself in a wide open place and there's a lot of people with you, you might be in the wrong spot. Amen. Right? Because many are those who pass through the wide gate. Many. You can also say most. The vast majority of people pass through the wide gate. And so when you find yourself in the vast majority, you probably miss the narrow gate in whatever situation you're in. Let that be part of your discernment. It's not magical. Discernment is not magical. It's open the eyes of my heart. Let me see. And He will. And sometimes I'm sure He's shaking His head. Son, open your eyes to what I'm showing you. This is not hard. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes when I would be teaching math especially, it's like, come on guys, this isn't hard. It's on the board. It's right here. What's next in this step? They don't have a clue. Because they're not looking at what I have shown them clearly. Oh, by the way, we did this yesterday. You did this last year in Algebra 1. You actually started doing this in 7th grade in pre-algebra. And you still don't get it. Come on, guys, this is easy. God, I'm sure, has the same sense and same reaction so many times with us. Come on, Jimmy. Son, this is. I'm trying to make this easy for you. I am showing you. Look at it. Discern what the truth is. By the way, there's no neutral place. There's not a third gate where you can just go be happy. Not under God's rule. Not out there in the world being in chaos. There's no third gate. If there was, Jesus would have said so. Nope, there's two gates. There's two ways. There's no third kingdom. And by the way, I didn't really have time to really get into this, but something occurred to me this morning. The kingdom, of course, has a king. You know, that's why it's called a kingdom. The domain of a king. What he rules over. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. I am so thankful that that translation uses the word prince. It encouraged me this morning. Prince is not king. That encouraged me this morning. I don't care about, you know, the whole Greek study and everything. There is sometimes the word just encourages you for the moment or whatever, and it encouraged me. That Satan, the prince of the power of the earth, is a prince, not a king. He is under the authority of God. God allows so much, but in the end, He will reign. In the end. And in the midst, if we let Him, He will reign with us. Wow. Let the peace of God reign. Let's live there. It is our choice. It is our choice. We choose the gate. We seek it and we choose. Some people find it and say, not for me. That's sad. They find the narrow gate and say, oh, that's too narrow for me and my baggage. Too narrow for me and all I want to take with me. My ways. My stuff. But it is our choice. Let us choose His kingdom, His Son. His ways. You know, Satan even told Jesus, lied to Jesus and said, you know, all of this is mine and I can give it to you. That was a lie. The prince doesn't own it. The king does. He was trying to deceive Jesus. And by the way, you know, we know the story. You know, Jesus said, no, no. It is written. If Satan has the guts to lie to Jesus, he's going to lie to you. And if we don't say, no, it is written, he will deceive us. But how do we do that? We have to know what is written. We have to know it. We have to, and I fully believe if we have chosen Christ, if we have given our lives to Him, if we are seeking first the kingdom of God, then when Satan comes to deceive us and says something that's untrue, God will give us the words to rebut that. Even though we might not be great biblical scholars, somewhere, sometime, some guy said something and it's enough for you to say, no, but I think God says. He's provider of all good things. And in the midst of a battle, he's not going to say, I'm going to hide this from you and you just have to deal with the devil yourself. No. If we have taken on Christ, God will not leave us or forsake us. So, like I said, this is going to be a very different morning, at least from my perspective. Because just to mention all this stuff and just go about our way, I think would be inappropriate. We didn't have a time of prayer right before the service this morning because I wanted to have a time of prayer at the end of the service today. And proclaim the reality of the kingdom of God in the earth in the midst of all this craziness. Do you appreciate, do you regularly acknowledge the fact that in the midst of a hurricane, there's a rock you can stand on named Jesus Christ? That you can see a terrible news story about another crazy thing that happened and you can stand on the rock of Jesus Christ and say, He is not moved, so neither am I. But we are still in the world. We are not of it, but we are in it. We are still there for a reason. We are not to be quarantined until it's over. And that's not to say you shouldn't quarantine when you're sick. I'm saying the kingdom of God is not a place of quarantine. The kingdom of God is a launching place. It's a place from which we do the work God's called us to do. And part of that is not necessarily, not just going to the lost and bringing the good news, but it's to remind the believers of the good news too. There are lots of believers out there hurting right now and scared to death because they don't have a clear understanding of the sovereignty of God in all that's going on. And even when you do, it's hard sometimes. Sometimes stuff is hard. I'll give you a little bit of just an example for that with my daughter and my son-in-law. There's a lot of various things that happen, but just one thing in particular. They sold their house. They were moving in. They're going to move into an apartment until their new house is completed. And right at the last minute, the apartment they were going to move into became unavailable, or just wasn't available yet. It's brand new. And so they had to find another one right at the last minute and find another storage unit and all this stuff. It was like just one thing after another falling apart in their plan. And so the last day they had to get out of their house, my son's up there helping them move, the very last day, it's on a Friday, they're trying to get everything out finally, you know, just wrap this up. And my son-in-law gets a call. His mother had died the night before. That's just one little part. It's a big thing, but it's just one little part of all that they have experienced. And so I understand that there are times when even if you're a believer, even if you know God and you trust God, there are times it gets hard. Just the night before, my son-in-law had said, I don't know if I can take one more thing, Tyler. He's talking to my son. And the next day he's told his mother just passed. Wow. They're not the only ones. Some of you in here have been dealing with stuff. And it's hard. Satan will take advantage of every opportunity to discourage and weaken you and me. So let's take some time. I'm going to be praying out loud. Y'all can pray on your own. You can pray out loud on your own. I don't care if you're louder than me. I'm going to pray about some like this list of things. Acknowledging God's hand in the midst of all of it. Also, I want to pray that this nation repents. And this nation isn't just one big glob of stuff. It's made of men and women, individuals. And each individual must repent so that we can say the nation has. But it's the individuals falling before God, asking His forgiveness for where we've failed and fallen short of His glory. So y'all can just sit there, you can walk around, you can kneel, whatever you'd like. I'm just going to pray for a few minutes. And if anybody else wants to offer a prayer, you know, for the assembly, you're welcome to do that after I get quiet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge You. We acknowledge Your name. We acknowledge Your power, Your greatness, Your holiness. Hallowed be Your name. The name above every name. Father, we do pray that Your kingdom is expanded and that Your will is done in this earth. In every individual in this earth, Father, and I'll just point to myself in this little part of the earth right here. May Your will be done. May Your will be done in each of us. When we hear Your Holy Spirit speak, Father, let us say, "Yes, Lord. As You have said, let it be so." Let me be obedient to Your word. Let me be obedient to Your unctions, to Your guiding, to Your whisper, and to Your shout. Father, all these things that we see going on, first the pandemic, this disease, Father, I pray that You bring an end, an absolute end, an absolute end to this disease and the craziness that goes alongside it. Father, let men and women come to an understanding and proclaim the truth about all of this. As You bring an end to this disease, let it be known. Let it be proclaimed. Let it be so in the earth. Let it be so. Father, we pray for all those affected by these hurricanes, the tropical storm, all the things happening along the coast, the Gulf Coast, the East Coast, all over the place. Father, we pray that Your hand of protection is upon Your people. Let us hear testimonies of the miracle that You perform in the midst of chaos, Father. Just as Tyler testified about even how Your hand was upon his life and the things You've provided for him, Father, let Your people proclaim Your goodness and Your miracle working power in the midst of the storm. Let Your people rise up to help and aid those around them, Father. Father, I pray that You bring rain. Bring rain to end these fires. If it's Your will, Father, do that. But if it's Your will also, Father, just to naturally, by the nature that You created, to reset things in the environment, Father, keep Your people from harm in the midst of this. Father, I am not wise enough to dictate how You would do it. So I just ask, Father, that Your hand is upon the situation. May Your will be done in that part of the earth. And Father, where men and women are engaged in such foul deception concerning so-called protests, but really riots, deception in the election process, Father, let Your truth be known. Father, let us not be concerned about the details of every policy and law, the history of this policy or that, but Father, let Your kingdom ways be revealed. Let Your kingdom ways be upheld. May Your kingdom come in this nation by Your hand, Father. Have Your way. You established this nation. You have held this nation. And so, Father, in the midst of this, even this Supreme Court justice replacement, Father, is in Your hand. And we acknowledge that everybody in authority is there because You put them there. You have Your way. You turn the hearts of the king as a river. So we trust, Father, that You'll have Your way. We pray, Father, for this nation to turn to You, to know You, to enter into the narrow gate. Father, and in this community where each of us has personal contact, where we have relationships, where we can bring the good news to the lost and the good news to the believer who is weakened by circumstance, Father, let us proclaim Your goodness, Your kingdom principles. Let us lift up the arms of those who are downtrodden. Let us see those opportunities. And we acknowledge that's how Your kingdom comes. As we walk out Your commandments, as we walk in obedience to Your voice, day in and day out, where we live, where we work, where we play, let us be obedient to Your word, Father. Both written and living. Spoken in our ear, written on our hearts. Thank You, Father. Father, we acknowledge it is only by the blood of Christ that we can even approach You. And it is in His name, in the name of Jesus, that we pray all these things. Acknowledging His name that's above all names. His name is above the name of every hurricane. His name is above the name of every fire. They even give names to fires, Father. His name is above everyone. And Father, we look not unto the governments of man for our salvation, but we look to You and Jesus Christ. Let Your kingdom come in this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all I have for today. Anybody have something you need to offer before we go? Anything at all? I'll tell you, I was so blessed to have several days up there with my daughter and her family while my son-in-law was back in Phoenix taking care of business where his mom lived. And got to start getting to know the new granddaughter, Hannah. She's a real easy little baby. She's just, even when she's the fussiest, she's really not very fussy. And of course, getting to come along the other grandchildren, alongside the other grandchildren, and teach them how to play pool. Some people will say, "Oh, what a sin!" No. Going to the pool hall and getting drunk and getting in a fight, that would be sin. Yeah. Going to the playroom at the apartment place and having a game of pool with the grandkids, that's just a lot of fun. But I'm thankful. Yoli.